Hello, this is Ian Berg with the Commercial News, dated Wednesday, August 8th, 2018. We'll start today's reading on the front page of the paper with the article Route 1 Roadwork, Construction Moving Along in Tilton by Jennifer Bailey. Tilton. Construction projects move along for the new Tilton-Illinois Route 1 intersection, which is scheduled to be opened by December, according to the Illinois Department of Transportation. The state's Route 1 and the village's side road work look like a disaster area, said IDOT supervising field engineer Greg Robinson of the joint projects. Cross Construction of Urbana is working on the $2.18 million Illinois Route 1 project. The project entails reconstruction on Route 1 between 14th Street and Southgate Drive to include pavement widening, curb and gutter replacement, resurfacing, raised median, roadway lighting, and traffic signals. Robinson said the project should be completed by December 1st, pending weather and other delays. It had been scheduled to be completed by October 31st, Robinson said. The IDOT project is about 15% complete now. Cross now is working on rebuilding 16th Street. Once 16th Street is finished and tied into Route 1 with the new ramp road and intersection, the 14th Street ramps will be torn out. Barring any unforeseen weather, only landscaping will have to be finished up later, Robinson added. During the project, which will include removing a concrete barrier wall, there will be numerous lane shifts, and restricted lane widths, he said. Route 1 will remain open at least one direction both ways at all the time, Robinson said. The separate project has Stark Construction building the side roadway extensions, which includes a roundabout on the east side of Route 1 north of Vermilion Chevrolet between First and Ramp Roads. Tilton Mayor Dave Phillips said the roundabout was part of planning with the state to keep up with traffic going to the future developed areas. Phillips said they didn't want traffic to back up like it does on North Prospect Avenue in Champaign. "That's why we got stuck with it," Phillips said of the roundabout and keeping traffic moving in a smoother flow. A Mach 1 gas station and convenience store is the only announced development so far that will be located on the east side of Route 1 in 2019. "We're trying to land some more," Phillips said about other development. He's also pleased that Autumn Fields Adult Community Assisted Living Facility also should open on the east side next month. Phillips said of the Route 1 project, he had heard there was a back order on the new intersection Mast Arms. Robinson said, however, the Mast Arms have been ordered and they're hoping for the best on them and keeping the project progressing. Phase one of the project involved the rebuilding of Southgate Drive, First Avenue, finishing up Lane Street, the new access without removing the ramps, and Ramp Road, which is going where the former Hollywood Video building was located. The state also removed the pedestrian underpass. Phase two of the Route 1 project includes the new intersection with a traffic signal along Route 1 and Georgetown Road. Phillips has said about Ramp Road, which will connect to First Avenue and Lane Street on both sides of Route 1, developers are waiting for the road to be built. The Lane Street extension is behind the Dollar General store, and First Avenue's extension is between 14th and 16th Streets. Route 1 will have three lanes of traffic at the new intersection, both north and south, with a center turning lane for Ramp Road. Officials also have said the project will eliminate the confusing and dangerous entrance and exit ramps to 14th Street and create safer entrance and exit to the Interstate 74 ramps. The entire project has been estimated at around $5 million. We'll go next to the article, OSF Installs Drug Disposal Boxes, by Mary Wyckoff. Danville. People now have a convenient way to dispose of old medication. OSF Healthcare Sacred Heart Medical Center in Danville has set up safe, secure disposal boxes in the main entrance lobby. These special boxes are available for deposits from 6 a.m. to 8:30 p.m. daily, including weekends. The boxes are also available from 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. at Healthcare Heart of Mary Medical Center in Urbana. This trend of making drug disposal convenient for people can be found elsewhere in Danville. The outpatient pharmacy at the Veterans Affairs Illiana Healthcare System also has a drop box in Building 98. The service is for veterans and their family members. In the past, the Vermilion County Sheriff's Department has conducted special one-day collections. However, Sheriff Pat Hartshorn said Tuesday that a drop box has been ordered. When it arrives, it will be located in the lobby of the Public Safety Building. The important thing is that people have access to somewhere they can get rid of prescription drugs, Hartshorn said. The trend is to have something people have access to 365 days a year. The permanent drop box could eliminate the need to have special take-back days, he said. More places are seeing the importance of helping reduce the misuse of prescription medications and over-the-counter drugs by installing the safe boxes. According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the United States is experiencing an epidemic of drug overdose deaths. Since 2000, the rate of deaths from drug overdoses has increased 137%, including a 200% increase in the rate of overdose deaths involving opioids. Jerry Storm, Senior Vice President of Pharmacy for OSF Healthcare, started investigating a drug take-back program after hearing from people who wanted a safe way to dispose of old medication, but were uncomfortable taking them to a police station where most drop boxes are located. Being able to dispose of them in a safe manner is just one of multiple things that needs to occur for us to be able to put our arms around this opioid epidemic that we're fighting, Storm said. Derek Holycross, pharmacy director for the OSF Medical Centers in Danville and Urbana, said the disposal boxes will help keep drugs out of the groundwater supply. They also protect children and pets from accidentally ingesting prescription and over-the-counter medications, both of which are accepted by the boxes. The OSF containers can be locked and are monitored continuously when open. The freestanding boxes are bolted down. Once a medication is dropped in, it can't be retrieved. After hours, no deposits can be made. They operate much the same as a mailbox. It is a simple process. You open the hopper to drop the box to the drop box and drop any unwanted medication bottles in, just like a mailbox. The unwanted medications are stored securely within the anchored box until pharmacy personnel remove them for incineration, Holycross said. This service provides a solution to the frequently asked question of, what can I do with these meds I don't need? The following things are prohibited in the disposal boxes: needles and sharps, liquids, including lotions and ointments, inhalers, aerosol cans, which are accepted as household hazardous waste, IV bags and tubes, and thermometers, which are also accepted at household hazard waste. The drug disposal boxes are currently installed in all 12 OSF Healthcare hospitals in Illinois. We'll go now to the article, Hoopston Officials Discuss Project, by Carol Hicks. Hoopston. Hoopston Civic Committee members met Monday to discuss planned development by the Hoopston Retirement Foundation and to discuss a counterproposal. Mayor Bill Krusenberry said he met with Russ Lay, representing the foundation, on how to move forward with the development of Illinois Routes 1 and 9 and the Motel Restaurant Project. The project Krusenberry concentrated on was a truck stop, which he said was the most doable right now. The most cost-effective way to get the water and sewer to the proposed truck stop, according to Krusenberry, was to take the infrastructure from the former Bears Trailer Park and office on Route 1, run it under the roadway to the developer's property, add a fire hydrant, and run a bigger water line in case more development would go south of the proposed truck stop. This would save the city from having to build another lift station and decrease a $3 million project to about $2 million. The cost to the city would be $175,000. This area also is in the tax increment financing district, which means money for the project could be TIF money. The consensus from the members of the Civic Committee was the city would do the water and sewer lines. Regarding the motel and restaurant, Krusenberry said he told Lee a parking lot for the motel and restaurant would not be in the mix. The city would put in water and sewer lines to the property. Krusenberry added the Hoopston Retirement Foundation might be receptive to do the development more quickly if the TIF were involved. The developers would see a return on their financial investment with the TIF. Alderman Bill Goodwine said, generally, the developers pay for the streets, water lines, inside, and sewer on their property, and then dedicate it back to the city for maintenance. This way, it would be their risk, not ours, Kruzenberry said, adding, if the proposal was approved by the developers, the motel could be in place by 2019. Kruzenberry will discuss both proposals with Lee at a future meeting. Vermilion Iron Demolition was the last item discussed. Kruzenberry attended a brownfield workshop in DeKalb, he said, and learned the Illinois IEPA had no grant money for brownfield projects, but the federal EPA did. He said he would talk to Mike Streff to see whether there was a team that could handle the demolition. The cost would be about $800,000 if a grant were available. At the last civic meeting, Harry Brockes, also a Hoopstown Retirement Foundation member, said he had purchased the Vermilion Iron property. However, it was learned he had not purchased the property as yet, pending the outcome of Kruzenberry's findings. We'll continue next with the article, Man Victim of Robbery at Winter Park. Danville. An 18-year-old Terre Haute, Indiana man was the victim of an armed robbery Monday night at Winter Park. According to a press release from the Danville Police Department, the armed robbery occurred at 7:36 p.m. Police responded to the 2300 block of North Vermilion Street to meet with the victim. The 18-year-old stated he was robbed at gunpoint. The victim said he was at Winter Park in the 900 block of East Winter Avenue when he was approached by two subjects. One of the subjects reportedly displayed a handgun and pointed it at the victim, according to the press release. The victim said the subjects demanded his belongings and took his backpack with his undisclosed items and his cell phone. The victim stated both subjects then ran away on foot. They were last seen running southbound towards the Holiday Hills area. Suspect number one was described as a male, black, wearing black shorts and a black shirt. Suspect number two was a male wearing a gray hoodie with the hoodie up over his face and armed with a handgun. No injuries were reported during this incident. The investigation into the incident continues. We'll go next to the article, Man Pleads Guilty to Home Invasion. Tyron C. Wilson pleaded guilty on Monday to a home invasion causing great bodily harm in connection with a April 2016 incident in Tilton. The plea was part of an agreement with Special Prosecutor Tom Brown and Wilson's attorney, Kevin Nixon, according to court records. Circuit Court Judge Tom O'Shaughnessy accepted the plea and set a sentencing hearing for October 15th. Wilson, 21, faces a prison term of up to 25 years for the Class 10 felony, with 3 years of mandatory supervised release. Several other charges, including aggravated battery, armed robbery, no FOID card, and a lesser home invasion charge, were dismissed as part of the agreement. Tilton police were called in April 2016 after Wilson, then 19, reportedly entered a residence in the Coach Light Trailer Park. As police arrived, Wilson ran into an apartment complex in the 1000 block of Glendale Street and entered a 88-year-old woman's apartment through an unlocked door. Court records say Wilson tried to rob her, but she was able to escape out a back door. Wilson then broke through a wall into the next apartment, where he attacked an 86-year-old man. Vermilion County Sheriff's Department officers joined the Tilton officers after Wilson refused to leave the apartment, with a sheriff's negotiator eventually persuading him to surrender. He has been held on a $1 million bond in the public safety building since his arrest. We'll go next to the article, Two People Injured in I-74 Crash. Two truck drivers suffered injuries Tuesday morning in an accident in the eastbound lanes on Interstate 74 just west of the Tilton exit. Illinois State Police said the accident occurred at 4:55 a.m. at the 213-mile marker and involved a 2015 Kenworth truck tractor with double-bottom trailers driven by Donald C. Hendershot, 63, of Gosport, Indiana, and a 2012 International truck tractor with a semi-trailer driven by Simone Certain, 67, of Newton, Iowa. Police said Hendershot lost control of the rear trailer in the rain. The trailer struck a guardrail and rolled over into the eastbound lane. Certain swerved in an attempt to avoid the trailer, but his truck entered a ditch and struck a concrete bridge rail. Both drivers were taken to an area hospital with non-life-threatening injuries, according to police. No citations were issued. We'll continue next with the death notices. Reginald V. Reggie Richmond, 58, of Rich Farm, Illinois, and Plainfield, Indiana, passed away on Saturday, August 4th, 2018. Funeral services are at 6 p.m. on Friday, August 10th, at the Robinson's Chapel in Catlin, with Pastor Randall Robinson officiated. Visitation is 5 to 6 p.m. on Friday at Robinson's Chapel. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made to his favorite charity, Habitat for Humanity. Joe Haas, 76, of Somerville, South Carolina, formerly of Vetersburg, Indiana, passed away on August 4, 2018, at Trident Hospital in Charleston, South Carolina. Graveside rites for family and friends will be at 10:30 a.m. on August 11th at Rockfield Cemetery in Vetersburg. Donations may be made to the American Heart Association or American Diabetes Foundation. Carol Jean Olson Carahan, 75, of Oakwood, passed away on Sunday, August 5th. A celebration of life service will be at 2 p.m. on Saturday, August 11th at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center on Vermilion Street in Danville. Visitation will be from 5 to 7 p.m. on Friday, August 10th at the funeral home. Burial will be in Pleasant Grove Cemetery at a later date. Lee Polson, 66, of Hoopston, passed away at 3:45 a.m. on Sunday, August 5th. A celebration of Leon's life will be at 10:30 a.m. on Thursday, August 9th, at the Blurton Funeral Home in Hoopston. He will be laid to rest the following services in Floral Hill Cemetery. Visitation will be from 4 to 7 p.m. on Wednesday at the funeral home, with Masonic services at 7 p.m. In lieu of flowers, memorials may be made to the Hoopston Jaycees or Star Lodge, 709. Nettie Naomi Kelnhofer, 84, of Hoopston, passed away on Monday, August 6, 2018. A celebration of Nettie Kelnhofer's life will be held at 10 a.m. on Saturday, August 11th, at Blurton Funeral Home. She will be laid to rest in Floral Hill Cemetery following the services. Visitation will be from 6 to 8 p.m. on Friday at the funeral home. Memorials may be made to the Iroquois Memorial Hospice, Alzheimer's Association, or to the Dutch Creek United Methodist Church. John Jack J. Myers, 90, of Danville, passed away on Saturday, August 4th, 2018. Funeral services will be at 2:30 p.m. on Wednesday, August 8th, at Renner Wyckoff Chapel in Urbana. Burial will take place after the funeral at Mount Olive Cemetery in Mayview. Visitation will be from 1 to 2:30 p.m. prior to the funeral home. Memorial contributions may be made to the National Firefighters Foundation in Jack's honor. Norma E. Hughes, 84, of Perrysville, Indiana, passed away on August 5th. Funeral services will be at 1 p.m. Eastern on Thursday, August 9th, at Shelby Funeral Home in Covington, Indiana. Burial will be at Hopewell Cemetery. Visitation from 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern on Wednesday, August 8th. Patricia A. Lumsargis of Westville and Georgetown passed away on Friday, August 3rd, 2018. Her wishes were to be cremated and have a memorial for family and close friends. It will be at her house at 105 East 13th Street in Georgetown from 1 to 3 p.m. on Tuesday, August 7th. Bill D. Golson, Sr., 84, of Hoopston, passed away on Tuesday, August 7th, 2018. Funeral arrangements are incomplete at this time. For some news and sports, we'll head to the article, Weather Wins Again Over Dan's Rex, by Chad Dare, Danville. Eric Coleman just laughed when asked if his comments would be any different on Tuesday than they were on Monday. "Nope, it's still the same," he said. "You can't beat Mother Nature." Game 2 of the Prospect League's West Division playoffs between the Danville Dans and the Terre Haute Rex, which started on Monday, was washed out completely on Tuesday. The two teams will attempt to finish the second game of the best-of-three series at 4 p.m. today. The Rex, who lead the Dans 2-1 in the bottom of the second, need to win both Game 2 and a subsequent Game 3, which, if needed, would be played approximately 30 minutes after the conclusion of Game 2. Danville, which won the opening game of the series 8-3 over Terre Haute at Bob Warren Field on Sunday, need just one win in either Game 2 or Game 3 to win its first-ever Prospect League playoff series. "This doesn't really change anything," Coleman said. "We need one more to win the series. The group of guys are committed to winning a championship." Coleman said that Grant Mayo, who started Game 2, would not return to the mound when the two teams restart the contest. "We're going to go a different direction. I just don't know right now which direction that's going to be," said Coleman, noting that a few of his pitchers are cleared to pitch after the two-game delay. Terre Haute took a 2-0 lead in the top of the first on a two-out, two-run single by Austin Wheeler. Danville got one back in its half of the first inning, when second baseman Kobe Cato scored on a mythical Little League home run. It was actually a single to center that was misplayed by Drew Ashley of the Rex into a three-base error, allowing Cato to run around the bases with the first run for the Dans. The lightning delay and the subsequent thunderstorms were not the only stoppages on Monday night. Danville catcher Eric Bigani suffered a groin injury off a foul tip. Bigani was taken by an ambulance to the hospital, where he was treated and released, according to Coleman. "He will be back on the bench, but he's out of all baseball activities for at least 7 days," said Coleman. Ben Bianco, who replaced Bigani in Monday's game, is the only healthy catcher left on the Dans roster. But Coleman pointed out that Matt Gammon, Will Klein, and Cato all have played the position before. In the Prospect League's East Division, the Kokomo Jackrabbits defeated the Chillicothe Panes 8-3 in the third and deciding game on Tuesday night. With the victory and the best record in the Prospect League this summer, the Jackrabbits have earned home field advantage for the championship series. That means the winner of the Danville-Terre Haute series will host Game 1 of the championship series on Thursday night, while Kokomo will be at home for Game 2 on Saturday, and if needed, on Game 3 on Sunday. We'll go next to the article, "Danville Ready to Prove Worth: Gold-Seeking Berth and National Tourney," by Colin Likas of the News Gazette. Danville: It's time to move on. The controversy surrounding American Legion Baseball's Illinois State Tournament is in the rearview mirror, according to Danville Post 210 Gold coach Alan Shepard. Now, Shepard wants his club to prepare for the Great Lakes Regional and a shot at the Legion National Championship. "We're going into it mostly healthy," Shepard said of the 18 regional tournament, which opens today at Mercy Field in Toledo, Ohio. "It's like our second state. The team that makes the least amount of mistakes is going to win." Danville could take on Mount Prospect post 525 in what would be an all-Illinois second roundabout Thursday if both teams win their opening games. That would be especially interesting, given what transpired at the state tournament. Mount Prospect went 3-0 at the state tournament last week, guaranteeing its spot in the Great Lakes Regional. That included a triumph over Danville, which later knocked off Alton Post 126 in a 10-inning thriller to give itself a shot at the state crown. Danville would have needed two consecutive wins against Mount Prospect to make this happen, but Post 210 didn't even get a shot. State Chairman Don Wallace, at the behest of the Mount Prospect staff, awarded that program the first-place trophy after its coaches said some athletes needed to get home for college orientations the next day. Inclement weather plagued the four-day state tournament, and there was a possibility Danville and Mount Prospect would have to contest a winner-take-all game on August 1st. But Shepard didn't feel that was a feasible excuse for Mount Prospect to exit prematurely. I didn't like it, Shepard said. We didn't get the opportunity to play for the state title. It's the first time that's happened in Legion state history, and that's a pretty extensive history. Mr. Wallace gets to live with that. Danville's consolation prize was Illinois' number two slot at the Great Lakes Regional. And for the second time in two playoff events, Danville must open against the host unit when Shepherd's athletes take on Napoleon Post 300 at approximately 7:30 p.m. tonight. We've been preparing for these situations since I took the program over, Shepherd said. We're trying to prove Vermilion County can compete on the national level. Shepherd said he'd look forward to another shot at Mount Prospect in the second round, but also noted, I don't have any rivals in this tournament. For Shepherd's money, Midland Berry Hill Post 165 out of Michigan is the odds-on favorite to advance to the Legion World Series later this month, because the squad is usually loaded with Division I guys. Don't take that to mean Danville's players won't bother to unpack their bags in Ohio. Shepherd Fields Post 210, whose roster includes current and former prep stars from Danville, Oakwood, Salt Fork, Bismarck Henning, Rossville, Alvin, Westville, Hoopston area, and Schlarman, has the ability to make a run to the Keter Stadium in Shelby, North Carolina for the Legion World Series. It took us 50 years to get a state title. I don't want it to take another 50 to get to the World Series, Shepherd said. This program is built strictly to give these kids an opportunity. The icing on the cake is for all their hard work. For a few short updates on what's going on in the neighborhoods, we'll go to the Community Briefs section. In Danville, neighbors to meet. The Holiday Hills Neighborhood Association meets at 5:45 p.m. on Thursday at Family Church at Holiday Hills at 1700 North Bowman Avenue. Pat Oblinger with Vermilion County VMEG is the scheduled speaker. Contact John Bianetti at 260-2149. Family Together. The Thornsboro Reunion will begin at 12:30 p.m. on Sunday at Rotary Park in Kennecuck County Park. There will be a cakewalk. Quilters to meet. The Vermilion Valley Quilters will meet at 9:30 a.m. on August 21st in the Danville Public Library meeting room. The program will be Chenille It. Learn to make chenille and incorporate it into projects. The public is welcome. Learn about chickens. Join University of Illinois Extension Vermilion County Master Gardeners for a free program about backyard chickens. Master gardeners and local experts will answer questions such as, what are the pros and cons of raising chickens? Do you need to have a rooster? Will you save money? The program will be from 6 to 7 p.m. on August 21st at Danville Public Library. There is no charge, however, attendees should register so there are adequate handouts. Register online at www.web.extension.illinois.edu/registration or call 442-8615. In Cayuga, Indiana, Legion hosts meal. The American Legion will serve breakfast from 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time on Saturday at the Post. Donations will be accepted. That's about all the time we have for today's reading. This has been Ian Berg with the Commercial News, dated Wednesday, August 8th, 2018. Thanks for joining me today, and I look forward to reading with you again.